The Mystical City of God, Conception, Book 2, Chapter 12. Our Lady explains temperance.
My daughter, thou hast said something of the virtue of temperance and of my practice of it, so far as thou hast understood its dignity and excellence. Yet thou hast omitted much that belongs to a full understanding of the necessity of temperance in human actions. It was a punishment of the first sin that man lost the perfect use of reason, and that the passion should rise in rebellion against him, because he rose up against God in contempt of his most just command. In order to repair this damage, temperance became necessary. By it, man restrains his concupiscences within proper bounds. He perceives the perfect medium in that which is desirable, and he is taught to follow once more the dictates of reason, bringing him near to the divinity and declining to follow his concupiscences like irrational beasts. Without this virtue, it is not possible for man to divest himself of the spoiled human nature, nor to dispose himself for the graces and wisdom of God, for they will not enter into a soul subject to the body of sin. He that knows how to moderate his passions by denying them their immoderate and bestial desires will be able to say and experience in truth what is said of the Canticles, that the king has introduced him into the cellars of his delicious wine and into the treasure house of his wisdom and spiritual gifts. For this virtue is a storehouse of most beautiful and fragrant virtues for the delight of the Almighty. Although, of course, I wish thee to labor much in acquiring all virtues pertaining to temperance, I desire nevertheless that thou consider especially the beauty and fragrance of chastity, the strength which abstinence and sobriety in eating and drinking will give, the sweet influence of modesty in words and actions, the exalted nobility of poverty in the use of created things. With the help of these virtues, thou wilt attain the divine enlightenment, the peace and tranquility of thy soul, the serenity of thy faculties, the right government of thy inclinations. Thou wilt be entirely illumined with the splendors of the divine graces and gifts. From an animal and sensual way of living, thou wilt be raised to a heavenly intercourse and an angelic life. And that is what I seek in thee, and what thou thyself by divine assistance art striving after. Be careful, therefore, my dearest, and watch for the divine light in all thy actions. And let not any of thy powers be induced to activity merely by pleasure and inclination, but always act according to reason and for the glory of the Most High in all things necessary for the conduct of thy life, in eating, in sleeping, in dressing, in speaking, in hearing, in desiring, in correcting, in commanding, in speaking. Let all be governed in thee by the light and the pleasure of the Lord God, and not by thy own. And in order that thou mayest so much the more be captivated by the beauty and loveliness of the virtue of temperance, consider the vileness of its contrary vices, and let thyself be deeply impressed according to the divine light given thee. Consider assiduously how ugly, abominable, horrible, and monstrous the world is in the sight of God and the saints on account of the enormous abominations which men commit against this lovable virtue. Look how some follow like brutes after the horrors of sensuality, how gluttony degrades others, how some follow after pleasures of play and vanity, how others are dominated by pride and presumption, how many are entangled in avarice and the desire of gain, how they all follow the impulse of passions, seeking in this life only pleasure, while in the life to come they pile up for themselves eternal torments and incur the loss of the beatific vision of their God and Lord.